Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm sure. I don't know how many ways you've discussed it or looked at it, but here we are. We're 10 days away from the start of the season, and there doesn't seem to be like, I don't even know if people know if the NFL is going to allow Watson to play or not, never mind if he's going to get traded. What are you hearing? You're in Houston. You're close to it. What do you think happens with Watson? Does he play this season?
I don't think he plays this season unless he gets traded at some point this season. Now, I am at this point, I have to say, I don't really expect the NFL to do anything with Watson's status because they haven't up to this point. They have not put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They had the whole offseason to do it. They didn't do it. They had right before training camp to do it. They didn't do it. And so barring some sort of development like a criminal charge or something along those lines, I expect the NFL to remain fairly hands-off on it because that is what the NFL has done with Watson over the course of this entire offseason.
Now, there's I think it's 22, these active civil lawsuits, you know, and they range in different accusations, you know, one, you know, forcing himself to perform oral sex and other things like that. If he's convicted in one of those, does that change it?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. And if I may say, I actually think I'm a pretty good person to ask this because along with being a sports radio host, I am actually also an attorney who works in Houston as well. So this is a story I know well. Deshaun Watson will not be, and I'll use a different term. He won't be convicted of anything because so far he has 22 civil lawsuits. And the way the system works in America, basically the standard in civil court is preponderance of the evidence, which basically means, is it more likely than not? I can tell you that if Deshaun Watson were to lose any of the 22 cases that he is facing right now, that will not happen for years. Years being plural. The court system in Harris County, where Houston is located, it was backed up from Hurricane Harvey, which struck 4 years ago, basically last week. COVID-19 did not help the court system in terms of how clogged it is. So when it comes to a resolution of those cases, just because the defendant is somebody famous does not mean those cases somehow get expedited. As a lot of people probably know at this point, Deshaun is set to be deposed in these cases in February 2022. I can tell you as far as getting a trial in this county where Houston is, it's going to take you a minimum of 2 to 3 years.
Wow. So now, Mike, I love the fact that you're a lawyer because to me, I look at this as a much bigger issue than like I really don't care that Deshaun Watson's famous. Like, I just look at our whole society as a whole. Sure. There's been very few advancements when it comes to us actually punishing people who rape or sexually abuse people, right? It's a societal problem. We've actually made steps in reducing racism. We've made steps in reducing, you know, homophobia. We haven't made any. You're a lawyer. How come?
Well, I think that's a great question. Here's how I'll answer. My best friend is a prosecutor, and I think that's the realm where, like, in civil cases, it's hard because in civil cases, there are really two parts of cases. There's liability. Like, if you punch me in the face and I sue you, not only do I have to prove, like, hey, that you punched me and you're liable, I have to also show, well, what are the damages? Like, how much should you pay me if you are liable? I think on the criminal side, I think the tough thing is always, like, when we talk about sexual assault and we talk about rape and these horrible things, we are talking about events that are the worst moments of people's lives, right?
Yep.
And so for them to be willing to take this to the police or the district attorney and go through that process where once they go to the police, they lose any semblance of control over it once an alleged victim goes to the police. They have to relive that. And it's just hard. I think particularly, and this is not, this situation with Deshaun is not what I'm about to say, but particularly when it comes to domestic violence, there's always the question of, is the alleged victim, you know, willing to press charges, willing to come forward? That's what makes it so hard. I do want to say this. I think it's important, though, that the only thing that's happened here is Deshaun Watson has been sued by 22 women. Deshaun Watson has 10 criminal complaints against him. That doesn't necessarily mean that anything happened. Now, people are going to look at the amount of accusations, they're going to look at the kind of accusations that are being made, and they will lead to conclusions. I will point out, though, that the things that lawyers put into those kind of filings, whether it's a lawsuit or whether it's Deshaun Watson's attorney answering the lawsuit, none of that is evidence. Like, none of that is necessarily backed up by evidence. What is evidence is the thing that comes in during trial. And so I have made pains to not rush to any judgments on Deshaun Watson because I don't know exactly what happened here.
Mike Meltzer joins us, host of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, also a lawyer, so it's perfect to discuss this. And like, you're a lawyer, Mike, and I'm sure you understand, you believe things. Like, it just seems rare that because we had somebody say, well, how come everybody's going civil rather than going to criminal court with Deshaun Watson? Is that because historically the victims rarely win in criminal court, and this way they might get something?
That's a great question. I'm not sure of an exact answer. I think the way this is kind of unfolded is interesting in that, you know, it was revealed that the first plaintiff, whose name is Ashley Solis, the first accuser, basically there was a settlement discussion over email between Deshaun Watson's agency and then the people who were representing her, Tony Busby, the attorney, who has gotten a lot of attention for this. They couldn't come to an agreement. She files a lawsuit, then there's a second one, and then there's a cascade of them. I can tell you that from what I hear from the defense side, just being, you know, talking to people and being a little bit plugged in, I do think from the defense, you know, they and I would say even maybe from the lawyer on the plaintiff's side, Tony Busby, when you have 22 accusations, I would say it's fair to say that some would be stronger than others, and some might be weaker than others. So I do think that's another thing to factor in. What I've had a really hard time with, candidly, is the stuff I deal with on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, is if you're settling a case, typically it's one party on the other side or two. When it's 22, that is very uncommon. And that's the thing I have a hard time with Deshaun Watson is, how do you settle not one case, not two, but 22 different accusations against him?
Yeah. Well, you wonder why there's that many. It's definitely a pause. So my question will be, from a football's perspective,
yep,
do you think, like, does a team even want to trade him? Because as you mentioned, he gets deposed in February, and if all of a sudden maybe something comes out there that the other team who's giving up a ton, like, his trade value can't be that high right now because teams are got to be a little bit leery of if he will be able to play.
I completely agree. If I'm the Texans, there's no way I'd trade Deshaun Watson now unless the reported asking price of 3 first-round picks and 2 second-rounders is met today. That's the only way I would trade Watson now. To me, it makes a lot more sense to wait from the standpoint that his legal situation, I think, should become clearer over time. Also, you have the fact that when you trade for draft picks now, you don't know where those picks are going to end up. If you trade Deshaun Watson in January, at least you know, assuming you're getting back at least one first-round pick, you're going to know where that first-rounder is going to be in that draft. So these reports by Charles Robinson and others about Miami, and make no mistake, Deshaun Watson wants to play in Miami. He wants to play for the Miami Dolphins. That's where he wants to go. I just don't know why, if the Texans have kept him this whole time, through the draft, through the offseason, through training camp, why would they then capitulate now? At this point, I would bite the bullet, pay him his $10.54 million this season, carry him on the roster, and make a trade in January or February. That's what I would do. I think that is the absolute most logical approach.
That's a fascinating one to watch. So let's say Houston doesn't have Watson. Mike, what kind of team are they going to be?
They'll be awful. They might be the worst team in the NFL. They just have not a lot of high-end talent. I mean, they'd be going – keep in mind, this team went 4-12 last season, and this is Deshaun Watson playing at, by every metric, a top-five level. Like, the normal quarterback stats, the Football Outsiders, the advanced stats, like, he was up there in every single one. Now, the Texans lost a lot of close games last year. They are more like a 7-win team and not a 4-win team. But you go from Watson – to Tyrod Taylor quarterback. That is a massive, massive downgrade. I think their O-line could be okay because they have some talented players up there. They have a lot of Jags on this team, just another guy. The coach who they hired, David Culley, to me is more of a motivator, you know, sort of a guy to basically, he's like a cheerleader, essentially. What they have done, which I do find interesting, is when you look at this, Jason, I actually do think they have a better coaching staff than what they had the last couple of years. I think Bill O'Brien filled his coaching staff with a lot of sycophants from Penn State and other places where he was. This coaching staff is full of actual adults who know how to coach a lot of positions. So I think that's going to help. But because of the lack of top-end talent, I don't know if the over-under is 4.5 on wins. I think it's somewhere around there. I would probably take the under just from the simple premise of it's not a very talented team. They're losing by far their best player. And the simplest way you analyze sports is how many players on the Texans would other teams actually want? I think that's a list of like maybe 5 or 6. And when it's that low, it's hard to win games. They will not be good. They will be in the running for the number one overall pick, in my opinion.
So do they have anyone that you would want on fantasy football, assuming Watson doesn't play?
That's a great question. Running backs, no, only because I think they have some okay ones, but I think between Mark Ingram, David Johnson, if they keep him, Rex Burkhead, I think it's going to be a split of carries. At receiver, I think Brandon Cooks might be a viable option in that he is by far their best wide receiver, no question about it, and Brandon's put up big numbers for about 6 or 7 years. The problem is, as I mentioned, the downgrade in quarterback from Watson to Taylor. Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw the ball deep often. Deshaun Watson does. That's what Cooks does well. I still think because they'll be trailing and there'll be a lot of volume, I imagine if he stays healthy, Cooks will put up some range of numbers. Nico Collins, who is a receiver from Michigan they took in round 3 and traded up for, I think is one player if people are in like, you know, deep leagues with a lot of roster spots. That's one to look out for in the long term. He's got great size. He lost weight. They like the way he's looking training camp, and he could be a keeper for their draft class. But other than Brandon Cooks, you will not want to look at the Texans for your fantasy football production.
Mike, great stuff, man. And I love the fact I didn't know your lawyer background. That's outstanding. So you're the perfect guest to have on to talk about Watson's legalities. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy the season.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.